will begin today. We're going to talk about intercession today. Intercession means that you stop praying for yourself for 5 minutes and you pray for someone or something else. That's a very simple definition. Intercession is when you're praying for someone else or something else. It's not about you. It's not about what you want, what you need, what you think. It's about the Lord. It's about His Word. It's about His Spirit. And it's about others. Amen? So let's go to the Gospel of Luke, beginning at chapter 11. And we're going to say a few words. And we're going to love on the Lord while we're saying them. Amen? Luke 11, and I'm beginning with verse 1. Amen? And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, notice he was praying in a certain place. There is the discipline of meeting with the Lord in the same place, the same time, every day, to pray. For him to hear from you and for you to hear from him. So he was praying in a certain place. And when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say. This is Jesus telling us what to say. Our Father, which art in heaven. So it's important to address the person that you're talking to. And where is he? In heaven, not floating on a cloud. Hallowed or holy is your name. Your name is wonderful, it's high, it's lifted up, and I acknowledge it, and I reverence you. Thy kingdom come. God's will be done everywhere. Your kingdom, your dominion, your power, your authority, your rule. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. We're calling God's will from out of the invisible realm into the visible realm where we live. We want God's dominion and his power and his glory to be seen where we are. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need for this day, Lord. Whatever we need to fill us, fulfill us, nourish us, support us, strengthen us, whatever that is, Lord, give us that. And forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Everyone that sinned against us, we forgive them all. And lead us not into temptation. We prefer not to be led into a test right this moment, Lord. But deliver us from the evil, from all evil. And he said unto them, I'm going to stop there. Deliver us from evil. You know we have the high days coming, or they're pretty much here. And we need to gird ourselves up in our most holy faith. We need to be praying in our prayer languages more than we normally do during this season. You know in Jacksonville we have several covens. We've got many of them. In fact, there used to be one right behind the old church. We've got many of them. We've got one coven in particular that's full of lawyers, doctors, the higher echelon of our society here. And they work witchcraft regularly. They don't miss. They're always at their meeting. We have several covens all over town. All over town, all up and down San Jose, all out at the beach, all on every side of town, Riverside, we've got covens everywhere. They're everywhere here. And there's no place you can go to escape them. But we ask the Lord to deliver us from the evil that is in our present world. And if you've been listening on Blog Talk, you know that we're praying and teaching about the protection of the Lord and how God protects his people. If you missed that, I would suggest you go back and listen to Wednesday and Friday's message, because you're going to need those scriptures for the days to come, because we will be assaulted by the enemy. He's targeting us deliberately, willfully, and full of intent. Now, Sister Cindy is not here today because a couple of weeks ago, her mother fell and has this hematoma on her head. And so she couldn't make it today. And there are other people that have been attacked in our congregation. It's our responsibility, saints, to pray for one another and to lift one another up daily before the Lord. You see, when we do these things, then many of us miss the strike that the enemy has against us. It's when we do our part and we love each other enough to pray for one another, enough to intercede for one another, that we survive and we make it. It's important to pray for more than us four and no one else. We have to get outside of ourselves and pray for everyone in this congregation. Amen? Amen. Psalm 95 and verse 2. Psalm 95, verse 2. I'll start with verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. He says we're to come, first of all, into his presence. Into his presence. That means we have to open up our hearts to the Lord and invite him into our space. And he says to come with thanksgiving, to come thanking him, because he's worthy to be thanked. Amen. He has provided everything we need for life and godly living. So when we come into the presence of the Lord, we don't come with a complaint. We come with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you is such a humble phrase, but not used enough. Amen. And he says, make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Well, what does that mean? That means you take the book of Psalms on Blog Talk Radio. Every service, I give you a featured psalm. And you're to take that psalm and you're to sing it to the Lord. That's what that means. You're to take the psalms in the book of Psalms. Well, I don't have a tune. We'll make one up. You're to worship the Lord with the psalms that he's given you and other psalms that he will give you. But that's what we do. That's part of our warfare. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So when we come before the Lord, whether it's in the body or at home in our prayer closet, we enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We start out by thanking him. It's important how we come before the Lord. We praise him. It's important that we do. Amen? And we're to bless his name. There's power in the name of Jesus. That power has set us free and has brought us into the kingdom of God. It's important to bless the name of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful or anxious or fretting for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we're not supposed to be anxious or careful or fretting. We're not supposed to let our souls be agitated in that way, because you know the Prince of Peace lives in us. But with everything, with prayer, we know how to address God for our needs and supplication. with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Let our requests be made known unto God. Thank him as you're bringing your requests before him. Thank him. That's what he wants. That's what we should do. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. God commands his people to pray. It's not a suggestion. It's not something we do because we can't think of anything else to do and there's no show on TV we want to watch. It's a command from the Lord, and to fail to do it is to walk in rebellion. 18 and verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint, or not to lose heart, or not to give up, or not to throw the towel in. Instead of those things, we are to pray. And we are to pray until we get the breakthrough. Now, this morning in the prayer meeting before church service, we had to press into God. When we came in here, there were some terrible spirits in this place. But we pressed into God, and we overcame, and we got the breakthrough, and heaven opened its windows, and the Lord came into our midst. But you see, we had to humble ourselves. We had to get up out of our chairs and walk around and pray and do warfare. We had to let the Lord use us. We had to forget about ourselves. And when we did, he came. And he came in a wonderful way, amen? He told us to get everything else off our minds and focus on him. And he would come to revive us. He knew what we needed all along. But it was up to us to avail ourselves to the gift he wanted to give. Exodus chapter 25. All the way back to the Old Testament, Exodus. And beginning at verse 22, Exodus chapter 25, beginning at verse 22. And there I will meet with thee. And I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubs, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give to thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. God was talking to Moses here, and he was explaining to him how he was going to come down and meet with them. God with them. Not just anybody, God. So he says here, and there, speaking of the mercy seat, the place where he poured out his mercy, I will meet with thee. You see, we have to know that when we come to intercede, that God's going to show up. It's not going to be a question of if. It's when we yield, he does. When we surrender, he does. When we thank him, praise him, and worship him, and humble ourselves, he shows up. He shows up every time. And I will commune with thee. I'll speak to you. I'm going to talk to you, he says. Well, you say, well, I've been in my prayer closet, and I didn't hear God talk. Well, if you open your Bible, you know this book talks. You have the King James Version of the Bible. This is not a quiet book. This book talks out loud, and it speaks to your heart, to your mind, to your circumstances, and God will talk to you from these pages, and he will tell you what you need to know. Amen? Has anyone else experienced this?
Oh, yes.
Amen. Okay, so maybe everybody hasn't, but it happens. God will talk to you through the scriptures, and he'll be talking directly to you. Matthew chapter 11, New Testament. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Now, if you have not experienced the Lord speaking to you through the scriptures, you haven't spent enough time in the scriptures. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. If you've never felt that God was talking directly to you as you were reading the Bible, you haven't read enough of it. Because he does. And he does it frequently. And he doesn't mind doing it. In the middle of a dilemma, you can take your Bible and say, Lord, I need you to speak to me. And the pages will open and he'll speak to you right then, right there. It's important to be able to hear from heaven. It's important to listen to the Lord. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God says, come to him. Quit sitting there trying to figure everything out in your head. He didn't create you to do it that way. He created you to come to him, receive from him, and find out what you're supposed to do in your situation. He created you to come to him and unload all of the burdens and cares of this life. Instead, many times we walk around carrying them like there's something precious to us. But that's not what he calls us to do. He calls us to unload. You know, in the Old Testament and even now, they had camels, and camels carried a heavy load on their backs. But before the camel could get through the gate, they had to unload everything on the camel. There was no way to get the load, the merchandise through, and the camel. Something had to give. And so the camel had to unload. They had to take everything off the back of the camel for the camel to be able to go through the gate. And you see, when we come into his presence, we have to unload. We have to let go of a lot of things. Everything we've thought about all week, everything that's puzzled us or hurt us or confused us, whatever it was, whatever this responsibility that we have that seems so heavy but so important, we got to unload. We can't go into his presence carrying all of that. Because Jesus Christ himself is our burden bearer. He bears our burdens for us. So until we decide to allow the Lord to relieve us of the burden, until we decide to cast our care upon him because he cares for us, we won't be able to enter into his presence, you see. That's why a lot of people come to church and they can't get into the presence of the Lord. They're in sin because they haven't cast their care upon him. They're still carrying it and holding on to it and fretting and worrying, and it's right back here in the back of their mind. But until you drop it off and hand it to Jesus Christ, who is the burden bearer, you won't be able to enter into his presence. And it's extremely important that we do, especially now. This is where we find our healing and our joy and our strength. We can't afford to miss that appointment. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 143 and verse 10. There was this old song. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Amen? We suffer needlessly because we just don't pray. It's important that we decide to pray. Amen? Amen. Verse 10. Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Teach me, Lord, to do thy will. When we come before the Lord, we need to be ready to be taught something. We need to be ready to learn something from him. And we need to learn how to execute his will in our lives, in our personal lives, and when we interact with others. There's a way that he has for us. But we won't find it until we get into his presence. And we have to press into his presence. Amen? He says, your spirit, your Holy Spirit is good. And lead me into the land of uprightness, of doing right, thinking right, behaving right, speaking right, loving right, dreaming right, praying right. This is what the Lord wants for us. But we have to choose to receive it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. We must submit ourselves to God and pray according to his will, not our own. You see, intercession is different from just praying for yourself. It's not the same thing. In intercession, you catch hold of God's will for whatever the occasion may be. And you pray according to the word and by his spirit and through the unction of the Holy Ghost, God's will. He wants his will to come from heaven through our prayers, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and be manifest in the earth. That's how he does it. We get hold of his will in intercession, and we pray it out in prayers, through our prayer language, and in English, and in our known language. And the angels pick up those words, and they bring them into fruition in this side. From the invisible to the visible. That's how it works. So it's important that when we come into intercession, that our table is cleaned off. That we have a clean platform so the Lord can bring his will to us. The Holy Spirit can unction our spirit with his will, and we can pray it out, and God can bring it into manifestation. A lot of intercession is just that. Amen? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Just as his will is automatically done in heaven, he wants it to be automatically done on earth. But somebody's got to stand in the gap and pray that for it to happen. It's got to come out of the mouth of a believer. Amen? Amen. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. And verse 42. I'm going to start in verse 39. Speaking of Jesus, and he came out and went as he was wont or accustomed to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. In other words, not to enter into temptation, you got to pray. Or else the spirit that brings the temptation to sin will be yours. You have to pray against certain things. And temptation to do something contrary to the will of God is something you must needs be pray about. And if you don't, the spirit that comes to tempt you to sin will be yours. So if you don't want it, you must pray. It's not a suggestion. It's obligatory. It's mandatory. It must be done. And verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them for about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Forget about my will in this, Lord. Yes, I have a will, I have an opinion, I have a desire, but nevertheless, I'm coming to you in prayer and I'm seeking your will. And I'm exalting your will over mine. And I'm putting my will aside and I'm asking for yours. Now that's what we all need to do, amen? We all need to do that. Let's go to the back of the book at 1 John. First John chapter 5. And verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth. According to his will, he heareth us. Anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. So, this says, when we pray according to God's will, we get an automatic answer, and it's yes. We get the answer to what we've asked for. Why? Because we prayed for his will to be done. Amen? Amen. Makes praying a lot easier. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to verse 1. Our prayers affect the lives of others. This is intercession. Our prayers affecting the lives of other people. Our prayers affecting the lives of others. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So that means we're supposed to pray for everybody on the planet. That's part of intercession. We pray for every breathing soul on this planet. And if you've been a part of Blog Talk for any given period of time, you know that we do that. And that at the on the last hour of our service, Brother Marshall leads us into intercessory prayer. It is Blog Talk Radio is our midweek service for this congregation and our Friday evening prayer meeting. Yes, it is. So we are expected to be in church on Sunday, on Blog Talk Wednesday night for our midweek service, and on Blog Talk Friday night for our Friday night prayer meeting. Amen? That's the norm for this congregation. We get fed 3 times a week. And if it just happens to be the right week, we can get fed 1 more time on Omega Man Radio. Amen? God does not let you starve in this church. But if you don't eat, then what? Amen? At some point, you have to choose to show up at the table. Amen? Amen. Amen. And for kings, that means presidents, prime ministers, rulers, the government, and for all that are in authority. So anybody that's in authority, we're supposed to pray for them. It doesn't matter if you like what they said this week or not. You're supposed to pray. And you're supposed to pray God's will, not your opinion. Amen? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's what we're supposed to do when we intercede. Romans chapter 8. We're supposed to pray for the president and the Congress. We're supposed to pray for the Supreme Court. We're supposed to pray for all government in authority, the police, the first responders, everybody, all the way down to our local government. We're supposed to pray for all of them. We're supposed to pray for the people running for office, the people that should be running for office and didn't want to run because they didn't want to get hammered. We're supposed to pray for the news media, no matter how many lies they tell. We're supposed to pray for them. And if we don't, we fail God. Part of the reason we see some of the things that we see that we shouldn't have to see is because the church isn't praying the way the church ought to. And that's just the truth. The church is not interceding the way the church should. And if we take up our part and do what God calls us to do, then we won't have to give an account for not doing it when we see him, now, will we? Let's see. Where was I going? Romans 8, verse 26. Turn my page. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't always know what to say. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. How? According to the will of God. The Holy Spirit's prayed for us so that we'll pray the right things, so that the will of God will be known on the earth and seen and experienced. We pray regularly for backslidden Christians and for backslidden ministers. Why do we do that? Because we want them to come back to the Lord, and the Lord wants them to come back to the kingdom. He has a use for them. He has a plan. This is the end time harvest time. This is the time. This is what this revival is about. The sweeping in of the kingdom of God of all these people that have been prayed for all these decades that still haven't turned and come to Jesus Christ. All of our relatives and friends that we've been praying for all this time. It's time. It's time. It's time. The time is now for them to come into the kingdom. Yes. And we have to stand in the gap for them and pray so that God can continually work on their hearts and their minds and their spirits and their circumstances to bring them into the kingdom of God. Amen? Recently, I heard Benny Hinn say some words. I'm going to say his name because that was the person I heard. Momentarily, I think I spent about 2 minutes listening, on how he's turning from the prosperity gospel. And he's turning back to Jesus Christ. But you see, if we don't pray, we're never going to see this happen. Those people are going to end up in hell because we were too busy doing something else to pray. God's not wanting to lose them all. Come on. We don't want to lose them either. We need the body of Christ. We need each other. We've got an enemy to fight. We need each other. We can't afford for people to just backslide and, oh, well, too bad for you. That's not the attitude of the Lord. The Lord's heart breaks for people that fall away. And we can't just let them fall by the wayside and say, well, you know he wrong and you know he wrong and he ain't no business saying that. No, we have to pray for them. We got to pray. And when we pray, God moves to bring them back. He wants them back. We ought to want them back. And if we don't, we need to get on our faces before God till he breaks our heart and we want them back. They're a part of us. They're not some foreigners running around. They're a part of the body of Christ. At one time, they were serving Jesus. But the enemy got in the way. And so we don't just throw them away like they're going in a trash can. They don't. They're precious. Jesus died for them. So we have to stand in the gap and pray and let the Lord break our hearts for them because his heart's broken for them. We've got to love them back through our prayers. And that's what intercession does. It loves those that have wandered away back to the Lord and to their Savior. And to their first love. And we've got to join the Lord in that ministry. We can't afford to just say, I knew he didn't have it. That's not love. That's hatred. Amen? Amen. We should pray and praise in our prayer languages. Ephesians 6. We've lost a lot of people in the body of Christ who went off into false doctrine because we weren't praying the way we should have been. We weren't standing on the wall paying attention. We were up doing whatever we were doing. And we have to answer to the Lord for it too. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, there it is. We're supposed to pray for all the saints, the fallen away ones, and the ones that are still in the kingdom walking with the Lord. Everybody's being attacked. Everyone. Some more than others. And we have to pray. We must pray. We can't afford to lose anybody else. We can't afford to lose anybody else. We need as many people in our ranks serving the Lord. And we need our family members too. I don't care how nasty they've been. We need them. You were born into a family for a reason. It wasn't an accident. I don't care who says it was. You were born into a family. You have a position. You have things to do in that family. Even if they thrust you out, you still have to pray for them. You still have to love them through your prayers. You can't just throw them aside and say they don't matter. They do matter. They matter to God, and they need to matter to us. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet or desire to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Now, you know, there's some people, I'm sure none of those people came today, who don't want to speak in tongues for whatever little reason they came up with in their head. Pray for them, okay? They don't know what they're missing. But you do. You know. And some of us don't pray in our prayer languages enough. See, when you pray in your prayer language, the Holy Spirit unctions your spirit. And he brings the utterance forth. And you pray the will of God out of your mouth. And he does not need your brain to get in the way. That's one of the reasons it's a different tongue from your native tongue. He doesn't want your two-bit brain getting in the way of what he's got to say. Amen? He doesn't need this thing. He needs your spirit. See, we walk around allowing our soulish realm, our mind, our will, our emotions, to run our lives. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. Your spirit man is supposed to be in charge. And we don't do that. We let our soulish man run the show and then our body does what it feels like doing. No, your spirit man, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is supposed to keep you in line. Your will is supposed to say yes or no. But it's not supposed to be all bound up by your imaginations and your thoughts and your emotions and all of that other that's in your soul. Everything that's happened. No, it's supposed to be free to be according to the word and say, yes, this is right, no, this is wrong. Your spirit man is supposed to be governing over, not your brain, your spirit with the Holy Spirit unctioning. But that's not how we live. But we need to change the way we live. Amen? We need to change. Jude, go to Revelation and flip one page. And you'll be to Jude. Jude 20. Now, we keep urging everyone on Blog Talk to do this, and we're going to urge you too. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How? By praying in the Holy Ghost. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. How? By praying in the Holy Ghost. By praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? You can do that in the car, in the shower, in the kitchen, wherever you happen to be. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, Old Testament. This is what we're supposed to be doing when we intercede. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 5. there. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And this is the part we need to pay attention to. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. It didn't say as long as he sought for something else, whatever something else is. As long as he was running behind this or that, or looking for this or trying to find that. Doesn't say that. It says as long as he sought the Lord, God himself made him to prosper. That's how we prosper. We prosper seeking the Lord. So if this church is on a fast, you see, God blesses people who seek him. Flip over a couple of pages to chapter 31. And we're going to verse 21. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 21. And I'm going to start at verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. Verse 21. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. He did it with all his heart. All the right things that he did it wholeheartedly, seeking his God, and God made him to prosper. That's how he prospered. Seeking his God and serving his God with all of his heart. Not half-heartedly, wholeheartedly. Amen? Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. And we're going to verse 3. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. I'll start at verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If you call to me, I will answer you, and I'll show you what you don't know. Great and mighty things. You know, we have that vision back there by Tommy Hicks that God gave him. God showed him great and mighty things that he didn't know a thing about. But it doesn't happen until we call on the Lord so that he can answer us. Amen? That's what happens in intercession. John chapter 16, verse 23. The Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 23. So when we pray, our prayers are to be directed to our Heavenly Father. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing, Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto, or before now, have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask that ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. He said, you're going to ask the Father in my name, and he'll do it for you. That's what you're supposed to do. So, we're going to John chapter 14. Flip back a page or two. John chapter 14 and verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified or honored in the Son. Verse 14. I would highlight this. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. So now why do we have so many problems? Seeing he told us, if you ask me for it, I'll do it for you. Amen. Thank you. You get an A. Amen. That's what it is. He asked, but he told us what to do, but we didn't obey him, and we didn't ask, so we didn't get. And so we walk around with our mouths poked out. And we come to church with our mouth poked out, and everybody's trying to figure out what's wrong with us, but you know, it's because we didn't ask.
Can I say one thing?
Yes.
You can't accept instant answers either. That's what a lot of people do now.
Well, some answers are instant, and some are not.
Yeah. Test the spirits. That's all you got to do.
Amen. Some answers are instant. I get a lot of them. But then I've been doing this a long time. They'll have to grow up. And the longer you stay in your prayer closet seeking the Lord, the better you get at it. Amen. You get this better by practicing, by doing. You have to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. Amen. Amen. We're in John chapter 16 and verse 26. Amen. And at that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Jesus saying, in that day I'm not going to do this for you. You're going to do it yourself. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Jesus said, I'm not going to pray everything for you. I'm sure that shocked some people, but that's just the truth. That's what he said. You're going to ask the Father yourself in my name, and he'll do it for you. Let's go to Luke. We know where that is. We just passed by it. Luke 6. And we're going to the 12th verse. I know we're covering a lot of scriptures that everybody knows already, but the problem is we're not doing them. Not that you haven't heard the scripture before, it's just you're not implementing them. So we have to talk about it some more until we get it done. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. All night. There's some old songs about praying all night. I called on the Lord all night long, and I wouldn't let go till he blessed my soul. I'm a witness that he came through. All night long. All night. When was the last time you pulled an all-nighter?
Last night.
Were you praying all night?
Most of it.
That's good. All night. We don't do too much of that in our modern society. We don't take out that much time for God. Ezekiel 22. Thank you, Lord. And verse 30. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. Ezekiel 22. And verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God couldn't find anybody to stand and pray when he needed them to, so that he wouldn't destroy the land, so that the destruction and death would not come. He couldn't find a soul. Out of all of his servants and all of his saints, he could find not one. You know, we should allow those words to prick our hearts, because God is seeking intercessors. He's looking for people that will lay down their lives and allow him to use them, because he doesn't want to destroy. But if no one stands in the gap, that's what will happen. Amen? Romans chapter 8 again. And verse 34. Romans 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And we are to join him in that ministry by interceding for others. Amen? Somebody's covering us, so we need to cover others. I believe that's how it works. He does for us, then we join him in that, and we do it for others. And so the flow of love never ceases. Amen? Luke chapter 22. And beginning at verse 31, Luke 22, and beginning at verse 31, Jesus' intercession for Peter was the protection that kept Peter from ultimate spiritual destruction. And in verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Jesus prays for us that our faith doesn't fail. So we pray for others that their faith does not fail. Amen? It's important. We all need our faith, and we need our collective faith to do what God has called us to do in the earth. And our last scripture is in Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. And verse 29. Now, this is a story that I'm going to allow you to read when you get home about Abraham and Lot. And the tragedy that was averted because Abraham prayed. The tragedy that was averted. And I'm going to begin at verse 27. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. See, there was a certain place where Abraham met with the Lord daily. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as a smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. So, what is that saying? That's saying, yes, God sent destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah. But because Abraham stood in the gap for Lot and his family, God remembered that. And he rescued Lot and his family so that they were not destroyed along with all the others in Sodom and Gomorrah. And when we stand in the gap and intercede for others, they too are saved. They too are protected. And they too are delivered. And we need more than just our families delivered. We need all kinds of people delivered from disaster. You know, I had the privilege of seeing this new kind of drone. And it was something on YouTube. I was at somebody's house and they were showing me. I forgot what they called it. It's this little drone, and they bring this airplane over. And all these little drones, not big ones, little ones, come out of the back like they look like a bunch of mosquitoes coming out. And they come and they attack people in the brain. And the force and the explosion from the drone goes into the mind. It releases an explosion because there's an explosive in it. And it kills people just like that. And it kills people based on descriptions from data that they have about us. Data from Facebook, data off the computer, data off your cell phone. They just pick these people that they think have an ideology or a belief system that they don't like. And so they target each one. You know, they can come into an entire room, but they pick certain ones and they kill them instantly. And you can't tell where it came from or who sent it. There's nobody you can prosecute because there's no way for you to know. You're just dead, that's all. Your family can't figure it out. And I said, this is artificial intelligence. It makes the computer makes a decision based on data. There is no human emotion or compassion or mind involved. It's all mechanical. So they just mechanically decide to just kill people. And that's what they're planning to do, but you know, we're gonna stand up against it on Blog Talk. You do know that. The minute they tell you that they show it to you like it's a cartoon, like it's fairy tale and it's not real, but when they start showing it to you, you know they've already got it and they're ready to do it. They just haven't numbed you to the point that you'll accept it. That you'll just say, oh well. So, what I'm saying is God needs intercessors and he wants us to be the intercessors. It doesn't matter how old you are, you can pray and you can let God show you what to pray. And you can open your mouth and say the things God needs to be said so that his angels can go forth and do the work. We keep wanting God to do these great miracles. Well, he can't until we open our mouths. And so that's why we have these simple scriptures this morning to tell us it's time to intercede. It's time to stop praying for just us and to intercede for everybody on the planet. Because those that have been in authority want their power back. And it's nothing they won't do to get it. Amen. Amen. The Lord told me to release some blessings over you today when I get to the end of this. So I'm going to do what the Lord said to do. I'm going to do what the Lord said to do. As soon as I get there, And this is the blessing of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. He's told us to intercede. He's told us how he wants us to do it. He's told us what to do it. That the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. If you'll obey this sermon, the blessing's coming on you. That's pretty straightforward. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed be thy basket and thy store. I believe that's your checking account and savings account, if you still have one. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. I guess nobody here needs money. The heaven to give the rain unto thy land in its season, and to bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, thou shalt not be beneath. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day. This day. What he said to do this day. To observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day. To the right hand or to the left. To go after other gods. To serve them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release your blessings upon your people now. I thank you, Father, that this is the benediction for the day, and we receive these blessings. We are committed, Lord, to do the word that you gave us this day, to obey the sermon you gave us this day, to hearken unto your word this day, Father. We pledge and we vow and we make an oath of commitment to you, Father, that we are your intercessors and that we will intercede according to your spirit by your word. And we receive the corresponding blessing that comes with our obedience. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we bless the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.